you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number. Two. You making fun of me now?
No.
You sounded like Anson.
Hour number two here, yeah.
You just can't wait for hour number two. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ's The Real, at Jon Snow, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. Text here, you guys are really irresponsible encouraging people to smoke weed when it's illegal.
No, we're not.
We're not encouraging anybody to do anything. I'm encouraging.
And where I was at when I ate too much weed, it was completely legal.
Yeah. Where I partake now, it's decriminalized. I won't go outside of Harris County, but listen, same thing is with gambling. I've always told people, if you're not gambling, don't start. If you're a 35-year-old man or woman, and you're just deciding, hey, you know, maybe I'll get into it. No, don't. If you haven't done it now, there's no reason for you to do it. Same thing with weed. If you've never done it and you're not into it, just because you hear people talk about it, don't go do it. I tell my kids that. It's like, I prefer you not smoke. Hasn't affected me, to my knowledge.
I tell my kids, listen, you guys should be smoking pot.
How old are your kids now?
9 and 4.
So you just want them to go to sleep early. That's all.
Yeah.
But no, I've talked with my kids, and I basically, and neither one of them have expressed an interest. And I just told them, if your friends want you to do this or you want to try this, then let me at least give you some good stuff. But I prefer you not do it. And so far, no issues with it. And they're not interested, and that's cool. But I don't encourage people to do anything. And I don't intend to encourage people to do anything that they don't believe in. And if you don't believe in that, it's like if you don't believe in drinking, I'm going to make fun of you a little bit because I don't trust people who don't drink. But I don't, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, you need to start drinking, man. That's your problem. So, you know, I think the stigma at least has gotten, it's amazing how much it's changed. And I think it'll keep changing. And I think that's a good thing. I always said that the two things in this state that I've always gotten behind politically, legalizing weed, expanded gambling, and I'm going to add this, which is going to sound like the exact opposite, but I think that we should make texting and driving illegal everywhere. I really believe that. I think you're endangering people's lives. And I know that's taking away a personal freedom, but I'm about personal freedoms that don't affect other people. And if you're texting in a car and not paying attention.
Do you text and drive?
I do not. I've been very clear about this.
I do all the time.
If I have to text somebody, I will pull over.
No, I don't.
At a red light, I might look at it, but I'm not going to actually text. It can wait. But I'm not in the car that much either. I mean, it's a 15-minute drive here. When I went to Dallas, then I'd stop at Bucky's and then check my text. And if I needed to text anybody, I would. But no, I don't do it because it's distracting enough. Traffic sucks enough in this city that if you're distracting yourself, you're in danger. That's why I don't drink and drive anymore for the same reason.
My phone or my truck now will tell me when my phone gets a message or a call, so I don't really – I mean, that makes it easier. And, like, voice-to-text helps a lot.
Yeah.
We're getting to the technology where you don't really need to text and drive.
No, but I can't tell you how many times – like, and we were joking about this driving back Tuesday. There's, like, one car swaying way, you know, from one side of the lane to the other. So I have to pull up, and of course she's texting. 5 minutes later, same thing, somebody else. And it's unnecessary. It's pointless. And whatever that text is, it's not important enough to get yourself hurt or somebody else hurt. So I would be fine if they just made it completely illegal. But they won't. 713, you guys are totally irresponsible for celebrating the decriminalization of a drug that is less dangerous than alcohol. Unbelievable.
It's true.
503 says, I never smoked weed, drank, or gambled, but I still enjoy the show.
Well, that's good.
713. what about texting while stopped at a stoplight? I got to get my text in the Blitz somehow. That doesn't bother me, especially if you're not first in line at the stoplight, because then the cars in front of you will start going. But you're not moving. That's okay. And I know, I'm talking to people who are texting the show as they're driving.
That's true.
832 says, I think the more you make smoking weed a shouldn't, the more your kids want to do it. Just a thought. Not really. I don't know, man. That's a whole parenting issue, and kids are different. And, you know, I kind of know that with my kids, if they're curious about something, they're going to ask me about it, and I'm going to give them an honest answer, and that's how it's always been. I like I said, I prefer they don't do it, just like I prefer they don't try alcohol. But I also told them, if you do, you're going to get the good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, 713, you forgot to mention the state's ridiculous blue laws. You're right about that. That's so antiquated. It's so ridiculous that I can't go buy alcohol at Specs on Sunday.
Yeah, that's absurd.
Or I can't buy beer until noon, or I guess 11 if I'm going to have food with it.
Dude, you can't even buy cooking wine
at
11 a.m.
From a store. Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the most ridiculous things about that, I remember going to get set up for a Texans game at a bar one time, and it was 11 o'clock on a Sunday, and I wanted to order a drink. And they said, yeah, but we have to put these chips in front of you. You had to have food in front of you if you were to get your beer at 11 a.m. But at noon, afternoon, I can go to any bar and get any alcohol I want.
Right.
But I can't go buy some and take it home.
And all liquor stores have to close at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
On Friday and Saturday night. Give me a break.
See, I like going to Louisiana and places like that where I can buy liquor in a convenience store.
Yeah.
And even in Saskatchewan, they have this thing called off sale. So you could sit there and drink at the bar all night, then buy a bottle at the bar and take it home with you. I love that. But, oh well. Pash said, literally just saw a wreck in Friendswood. Guy was texting in the center lane. Head on, boom.
Ouch.
A lot of good comments.
How do you get hit head on if you're in the center lane?
I don't know. I need more details on that. So he says there's a bill in the state senate right now. It's making it illegal to text and drive for the entire state of Texas. I'd be okay with that. 409 says, I've actually passed cops that were texting and driving. I've seen that too.
I see cops playing on their computers.
Yeah, while they're driving.
Playing solitaire, I'm thinking.
Probably. And those computers they have are distracting enough.
Yeah.
So let's grab a phone call. Cole. What's up?
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports, Cole.
Yeah, I just had a quick little 2 cents on the whole pot deal. My biggest deal is, like, growing up, I always heard it from, I guess, conservative family, and you always hear about it on the news from conservative-type people as you hear people saying how dangerous and how harmful pot is for you when in reality it's not. And then you get kids who have that drilled into their minds that it's that dangerous, and they end up trying it and realize that it's not as dangerous as it was made up to be, and then they think that they were lied to, so they go out and try other drugs that are actually dangerous, thinking that they were lied to about that. So I just think that whole deal about it being drilled in the kids' minds that it's dangerous is one of the worst things that come from all this. But that was just my 2 cents on it, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess it, by the time you're our age, almost everybody's tried marijuana once or twice. And if you've tried it, you understand it's not that.
Yeah. You remember when Bill Clinton, it was that whole big deal. I did not inhale.
Well, what the hell did you do? I mean,
what's the point?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, I don't know, man. I think it's even when I was growing up, and that was a long time ago, at least where I grew up, it wasn't a big deal. Everybody did it. But we were broke and we couldn't afford very good weed. And I don't know that it's all necessarily conservatives. I think people try to blame them for that. There's a lot of people in the Democratic Party that have fought it too. So I don't think it's just that, being from a conservative family. It's part of it. 713-780-ESPN says, lady was crossing behind my truck, 3-lane road in 528 traffic, into the center lane, going left. Guy was coming down the center lane fast, saw him in my side mirror looking at his phone, slow motion. Boom. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Well, I can't help him with that. Can't help him with his backyard, though.
Yeah?
Because the guy's over at Allied Outdoor Solutions.
If he's still alive.
Yeah. If he needs carved stone overlay in his backyard on his patio. Because it probably looks like hell.
And
or if maybe you've got an old beat-up driveway and you know that you're going to have to keep your wrecked car on it for a while,
yeah,
you at least want the driveway to look good. Carved stone overlay gives you the look and feel of real stone on your existing surface for less money because you're short on cash because you just wrecked your truck. It's trialed hand-carved, custom-colored for your home, so it looks amazing. Twice as strong as concrete, and Allied stands behind it with a 7-year warranty. They can help you on residential and commercial projects, and they can help you save money as well. They even offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. With all this, it's no wonder so many people have great things to say about Allied. Their Best Pitch Report certified each of the last 4 years. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Get a carved stone overlay to get the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions today. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway, or check out the Carved Stone Projects photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or call for a risk-free estimate, 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions. I'm the best baby that they never gotta keep. 1, 2, 3, they gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. Let's squeeze in one quick call. We got the R.J. Bell coming at 5:30, by the way. Darren, you're on The Blitz. Go.
Hey, what's up, guys? Sports.
Sports to you.
So, speaking of smoking weed, just smoked a little bit, enjoying that. Also, wanted to ask you guys' opinion on the NHL playoffs. We have the Capitals, second year in a row, strongest performing team throughout the regular season. Just hoping they can do something in the playoffs this year. Just wanted your guys' opinion on that.
Well, tell you what. I will point you to my little preview I did yesterday on HoustonSportsAndStuff.com where I broke down every series, and I picked Capitals and Blackhawks, which is chalk, but I think this is their year. If it's not, you're never winning one because that's the most complete team in the NHL right now, and I think the Blackhawks are the best coached, best system team in all the league, and I think those are the two teams that are going to be in the Cup. But we shall see. A lot of playoff failures there. 713-780-ESPN. It's more hockey talk than we need to have.
Yeah.
That's why I wrote that preview. So if you've got a hockey question about how I think a series is going to go, just go to HoustonSportsAndStuff.com. Got them all on there. Because I know there's a lot of transplants here who are interested, but the bulk of our audience doesn't give a rat's ass. So that's kind of why I did that.
Thank you.
Did you see that Aaron Donald might become the highest paid NFL defender?
I wouldn't argue with that.
It's his time, right? It always comes down to who's in. If he's, I mean, he's as deserving as anybody, right?
He really is. I mean, I think. I mean, obviously, around here, it's blaspheme to say anyone but J.J. Watt's the best defensive player in the league. I'd have a hard time not putting Aaron Donald right in that same conversation, and he didn't just have back surgery, so.
Yeah, I just people don't pay much attention to him because, well, first he was in St. Louis, and now he's and their team's not good, but that guy brings it, and I think he's a difference maker. Definitely deserves it. Let's
Aaron Donald. When you think about kind of draft steals.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald's right there.
Is he 10th?
Near the top. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was 13th. 13th, pick, okay. In the draft. And it's like, man, that's it.
That was a pretty good draft, as I recall, though. I mean, not that he should have gone 13th.
But, well, I'll give you that. But he's arguably, I mean, the Texans, if they had taken him number one, no one would be making fun of him.
Not now, but I think they did okay there.
I mean, really, there's not a lot of full-on busts from that draft to this point. I mean, at least that early in the draft, except for Justin Gilbert.
Right.
I mean, Greg Robinson's not.
Greg Robinson hasn't quite worked out.
He's not great, and he's not number two pick worthy.
No, and in fact, he's barely starter rotation guy.
Blake Bortles, probably disappointing, but he's a quarterback, and he's a functional NFL quarterback at this point, so it's hard to argue taking him. Sammy Watkins is, I would say, disappointing.
Yeah, but I'm not ready to write him off yet either.
No.
You know, he's had injuries, but when he's been healthy, he's shown flashes of being exactly what they were.
Jake Matthews looks like he's starting to figure things out.
Yeah.
Justin Gilbert was a disaster. Khalil Mack and Mike Evans are in that conversation.
Yeah, those.
Anthony Barr, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's good too.
Eric Ebron, maybe decent player, not a top 10 draft pick type player.
Right. He hasn't been what I thought he would be. I thought he would be a really good weapon for them, and that hasn't quite worked out.
Taylor Lewan, Odell Beckham, Aaron Donald.
It's pretty good.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. God, that is a really good draft.
The 630 says, what's it going to take to get AJ out to the Maple Leaf to watch hockey? I'm going Saturday to watch Blackhawks, and I'll buy his drinks, except he's not drinking right now. So
yeah, it won't do me any good.
I might swing by there this weekend. I haven't been there in a while. It's on the other side of town now, and I like going there and watching hockey.
Who's he going to watch?
Blackhawks.
Oh, they're playing against the team I'm cheering for.
They're playing against your Predators.
I'm not going to drink with you, bro. Crazy.
Let's squeeze in a phone call. Mark, you're on the Blitz, go, sir.
Hi, this is Martin, man. I was just calling to get you guys' opinion on the NBA playoffs. I just want to know if you guys think that it's really just a lot of hype. There's really no best or worst in each division. It's just Boston and Golden State. I mean, Cleveland and Golden State. I'm sorry.
I mean, I think those are the two teams to beat, obviously, in their respective conference. But I think there are other good teams. I think Boston's good. I think the Wizards are good. I think San Antonio could win. I'm still in the minority, and I get that, but I think San Antonio could win a championship if things go the right way. I mean, they have to catch some breaks and find Golden State in a like on an off series, but I wouldn't say it's impossible. But I've kind of been in that camp all year long that I'll take Warriors, Cavs, and Spurs and give away the field, and I'll take 1-2 odds, and I'd feel good about it.
Yeah, I'll throw the Spurs out of that. I'll take the other two and feel good about it. So, the playoffs are 10-team, dude. One of the best parity ever.
What?
Yeah. Spurs aren't a top 5 team.
No, they are.
Yeah, I.
They have the second best record in the NBA.
But I best parity ever. I'm not seeing that. I don't think.
I don't see the best parity ever either. Like I said, I see three teams that I think can win the championship.
And honestly, parity's overrated. Although I think it's one of the reasons I like the hockey playoffs is all the teams are pretty close. But the reality is if you have one dominant team and then everybody else is kind of equal, and then that the one who emerges from the other equals makes a run at the dominant team, that's when things are most interesting to me. If that makes sense. So, I love that the Patriots are good every year.
Because you want those dynasties.
I want those dynasties, but I also want, and I loved it, that the Falcons kind of came out of nowhere and challenged them and had them beat, but then they didn't. That's fun to me. So, because I think what you're seeing here is a lot of people trying, well, this team might be able to do it, and this team might be able to do it, and the reality is nobody's going to beat the Warriors unless it's the Cavs again, and I'm not sure even healthy, the Cavs beat the Warriors this year. I think Kevin Durant tipped the scales. But that's just me.
And 61 wins for the Spurs. They're not bad. They're not the Warriors. They're a top 5 team, trust me.
No.
If you think you can name 5 teams better than the Spurs, I'll listen for about, I mean, you could maybe throw out 3 that I would even consider. And even then, I can't picture. I don't know who you can name that you would say is better than the Spurs. But you could say the Warriors.
But see, here's where I guess where I am on them. They're not getting past the Warriors. So it really doesn't matter if they're the third best team or the second best team or the 30th best team. They're not getting past Golden State. So whoever's in the East is going to be the one that
realistically gets to play for it. The Spurs are better than the Cavs. The Cavs just they play in the East, so it makes more sense that they'll have a shot to make it to the finals. I just don't know how you could possibly name five teams you think are better than the Spurs.
I mean, they're just kind of spewing nonsense now, so I gotta.
He's probably going to say Rockets, which would be absurd.
No, he's talking about all these teams in the East that they're just not that good, man. Sorry, disagree.
What, do you think the Raptors are better than the Spurs?
He says Wizards, Celtics, Raptors, and Heat can all beat the Cavs.
No, the Heat couldn't even make
the
playoffs.
Cavs aren't better than the Rockets. The Spurs had an easy schedule. They had the same schedule the Rockets did, Chief. Yeah, you can stop now, okay?
People let their fandom get in the way of common sense, and it's just absurd.
It's nice try, though. That's the last one that you get read. But, hey, guys, if you have business and you're hiring, do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates?
Yes, it's ZipRecruiter.
That's right, because if you just put your job in one place, guess what? You're not going to find any quality candidates.
That's how they found me here. They posted the job in one spot. I got the job.
No,
mistake.
They put you on ZipRecruiter is what they did.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh.
And, guys, if you want the perfect hire, and this is something that we've been dealing with a little bit here, is going out and hiring people. But with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. And that way you're going to find candidates in any city or industry. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface.
Yep, no juggling emails, no calls to your office. You can quickly screen the candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter's been used by Fortune 100 companies, as well as thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/play. That's ZipRecruiter.com/play. One more time, try it for free, guys. ZipRecruiter.com/play.
ESPN 97.5.
And it makes me wonder. And we're back on the Blitz, and it's a day early. But you know what that music means. Time for the best segment of the week.
It means we've got the day off tomorrow.
It does. Well, you do. I have to still have an appearance. Although I'm getting paid to go to the racetrack and drink, so it's not all bad. But RJ Bell, founder of pregame.com, the gambling guru of the planet. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. What's going on, buddy?
No chicken wings tomorrow.
No. Not a thing. No chicken wings.
For you?
Well, you know, I am Catholic, so it's one of those handful of things that, if I do this, you know, a couple times a year, I feel a little bit better. So I do avoid the meat on Friday.
Good for you.
On Good Friday.
Yeah. Good for you.
I grew up Catholic, but I gave up religion for Lent and just never took it back. So
that's a little sacrilegious there.
Yeah, well, I never pretended to be anything but.
Fits the brand.
Exactly. So, first off, I'm kind of intrigued that there's going to be some draft props in Vegas for the first time, and I'm kind of curious what the guidelines are, and are we going to see more of a move toward this kind of stuff in Vegas, or are they just sort of dipping their toe in the water here?
I think it could be both, and I think it's a wonderful thing. To me, Vegas has been really disappointing net over the last 10 or so years, and here's what I mean. It is a monopoly in town. Yeah, you know, in Nevada, but, you know, a vast majority happens here in the city of Las Vegas. And I think if you say, well, you know, what percentage of overall sports betting is Vegas? You know, the answer is about 1%. So you might say, well, how is it a monopoly? Because these Vegas guys aren't even thinking about that other percent. Because if some guy's in New York, you're not going to get them, right? And, you know, what can they do? They can't fly into Vegas every time they want to make a bet. And for those that don't know, you cannot bet across state lines no matter what, even if the, you know, bookmaker is in Las Vegas. So really, who can the Vegas bookmakers market to? What's their addressable market is the way the VCs would think about it. It's people who live in Nevada. And if you're a sports bettor and you live in Nevada, you bet in Nevada. And, yeah, they're kind of competing amongst themselves, but it really is a monopoly because none of them are competing all that hard because kind of the dirty secret or maybe the unknown secret, like most secrets are in Vegas, is that the sports books look at themselves as an amenity, meaning their casino, their bosses, the presidents above them, they're thinking, just don't F this up. Right. If someone's playing $15,000 a hand in blackjack, don't make him go across the street to make a bet if he wants to make a bet. Just like don't go across the street if he wants to eat some Chinese food. Don't go across the street if he wants to go to the restroom or if he needs to go to the restroom. Those are amenities. And sports books are considered the same way. Yeah, they're going to make 5-7% on their money. But the books or the casinos would much rather have a steady 5% and never have a losing month, never have any controversy, then make 8 or 9% and have some losing months and have some controversy. So that just goes inherently against ambition and risk. And remember, Business 101, and Warren Buffett talks about this all the time. You've got to make sure the decision makers are aligned with your interests. And that's why he is very selective, Buffett, in the stocks he'll invest in, and usually it's private companies, because with a private company, he's able to meet the CEO, meet the president, and get a feel for, okay, are we in sync, me and this guy? And if so, maybe I'll buy his company. And with stocks, occasionally, you know, he'll find CEOs he's in sync with. But what is the agenda of a VP here of sports books? You know, I don't want to name any names, but there's one VP, might be the worst one in town, but it's for a big local book. There's like 8 or 9 locations, and he makes this guy $700,000 a year. All right. Now, he doesn't do one thing outside of the norm, not one ambitious thing, not one player-friendly thing. He just keeps the trains running, and he keeps making $700,000 a year. Why in the heck would he be motivated to do anything differently? So you wrap it all up. There's just a sense of inertia and apathy in Nevada. And I think this is the beginning, hopefully, a little kind of rattling of, you know, guys, there's a pretty good chance there's going to be some legalization in the next 5 years. You know, if we kind of step it up, we might be able to grow our business, you know, 5X or 10X as the states, you know, obviously California and New Jersey. What does that do? Just those two states, right?
Right.
So my sense is there's some more ambitious sports books, but for the most part, no. And this is a good sign to me because it shows draft betting some ambition in Nevada.
Well, talking about growth, you're creating a destination time for people to go out there. Like, I have friends that go every year first week of the tournament just so they can bet out there. Super Bowl, same thing. If you create something like that, people want an excuse to come out there. It's like, oh, well, if we can bet on the draft this weekend. And because most people want to bet in Vegas as opposed to online. And they'll make plans to go out there and do it. So I think you can build an audience that way.
That's interesting. The only kind of counter would be, well, the main draft days are Thursday and you know, is the main draft day. And, you know, it's hard for people to come out on, what, Wednesday night. But I hear you. And I don't care how little action this gets or how much. I just like the ambition. It is noteworthy and I think something that gives some pretty strong insight that they're really not allowing any sort of prop that knowing a single team's pick could allow you to win automatically. So let's say for the sake of argument, they said, well, will quarterback go, you know, over under the third pick? You know, obviously, usually that would be, you know, better than the third pick. But let's just say this year that was the prop. Well, if you were the number one pick and you knew who you were going to take and it was a quarterback, well, one person's inside information could make that bet a winner, and that's something they were trying to avoid. So they're doing more things like over under offensive players versus defense, or which conference, SEC, Pac-12, etc., is going to get the most draft choices in the first round. So things that, yeah, if you knew one pick, it would help you a little bit, but it wouldn't decide the bet totally.
RJ Bell is our guest. I have a person from Twitter that has a question for you. Said, ask you if you had a chance to read ESPN's story on how the Raiders ended up in Vegas. He's curious to hear your thoughts.
You know, I saw a story that was okay. That was another. No, I haven't, and I will be interested to read that. They did an excellent one. And if I remember, I think Don Vannato was involved in it, about the Rams and that decision. And I love the behind the scenes, because one of the things that Rams article talked about, and I'm guessing it's going to be applicable here, is really there's two factions in the NFL. And, you know, I guess as a Steelers fan, one of the old school factions with the Rooneys, had Dan pass away today, and obviously not a great thing there, but the fact is there is the old school and the new school. And the old school, I mean, if you know the story of the Rooneys, Art, the dad, that he actually won the money to buy the Steelers at the horse track. Now think about this, the NFL and, you know, all the anti-gambling over the years, and lo and behold, one of the founders of the league won, I think it was like $3,000. Now this was the 30s, right?
So, right.
But at the horse track. So the old school guys, for the most part, that, you know, then they passed it on, you know, generation to generation. Then you had, you know, obviously others buying in the 60s and 70s, which was usually older money, but not the founders. And then now you've got the young bucks. And, you know, the irony is Jerry Jones, you know, on the calendar isn't a young buck, but he's got kind of a young business perspective. And, you know, it usually is the young guys with Jerry Jones leading the way versus the old school. And my understanding is Jerry Jones was instrumental with the Raiders coming to Vegas. So to me, that forward-thinking approach is obviously hyper-appealing.
RJ Bell, our guest. Hey, can we turn to the NBA playoffs here, which are kicking off? Is there any value in any of these future bets? I mean, I think the numbers are almost where they should be. Obviously, the Warriors should be odds on. But is there somebody else out there that jumps out at you as where there might be value?
Well, let's talk history first, because we have one of the fist pounders of the week is the Golden State Warriors entering this playoffs are the biggest favorite of any team in the modern era. And we'll say 1980 onwards is the modern era. No NBA team has been favored this much ever. Not Michael Jordan's Bulls, not Kobe and Shaq's Lakers, not Larry Bird, not Magic, nobody. And they're minus 150. So you actually have to be 15 teams on one side in the field, one on the other, and you have to lay 150. And you can get 130 back on the field. 15 teams plus 130. Never seen this before. So let's start there. Number two, oftentimes you want to consider a mechanical parlay instead of a future bet. So what does a team need to do? So a team I'm a little intrigued by is the Spurs, because I believe the following. The Spurs are a better team than the Cavs. In fact, I don't even think that's a real question. So the Spurs, though, are 9-1, and the Cavs are 4-1. And then, as we said, Golden State minus 150. So, you know, in a way, you could say, well, the Spurs would have to beat Golden State and Cleveland.
Right. Right.
And Cleveland would have to beat, you know, Boston, Toronto, whatever, and then Golden State. So I get it that it's slightly tougher for the Spurs, but not doubly tough, I don't think. So now let's say I want to look at the Spurs. Do I take the 9-1? Or do I say, okay, what would I have bet at 9-1? So let's say $1,000 to win 9,000. Okay, do I bet $1,000 on the Spurs then on the money line to win the first series? And if I win that, I take the 1,000 plus the winnings on the next series, take the winnings on the next series, take the winnings on the fourth and final, the finals series. That is really replicating a future bet.
Right.
More times than not, that's going to pay you better. So that's advantage one. Advantage two is a lot of people are inclined to hedge once they reach the finals and say, okay, now I'm in a position, 1,000 wins me 9,000. I want to win 3,000 no matter what, so I'm going to hedge out and then, you know, have a nice win either way. And might wait it where if what happens, I expect it to, I win more, right? Well, it's so much easier to quote-unquote hedge if you just make that last bet in the four bet sequence less, right? I could put $3,000 in my pocket and just bet the rest. So, but if you actually have to bet the other team in a classic hedge with the future in the finals, then you're actually paying the vig or the juice twice, right? So that's really less attractive. So in general, if you're ambitious, now listen, you're throwing 10 bucks, you want the ticket in your pocket to talk about at the bar, fine. But if you're ambitious, look at the mechanical parlay. Just to give it a little perspective, and this is one I actually figured out and I remember it, is remember when Baltimore won the Super Bowl a few years ago, is Baltimore entered the playoffs 25-1. Now, that sounds like a nice payoff. If you would have mechanical parlayed them mechanically four rounds, because they had to play in the first round, you would have gotten 70-1 with some decent shopping. So think about that, 25-1, 70-1. The two teams or the couple of teams that interest me, I'll be honest, Houston interests me a little bit, right? The depth of the – obviously, they're a long shot. But the depth of that team, you know, I hate the idea. You want to talk about a run, though, beating San Antonio, let's say. Well, OKC, right? OKC, San Antonio, and then
the Warriors,
Golden State, and then the Cavs?
Yeah.
That's a tough run. The team I like, you know, the bet I probably like most in all the futures is I like Toronto to win the East. And I've seen that about 7-1. I have a professional batter, David Malinsky, worked for Billy Walters for about a decade. I mean, as sharp as they come, he writes daily for us. Great stuff up at the website. He says he thinks Toronto's a slightly better team today than Cleveland. Now, a lot of people are going to disagree with that. But the fact that one of the sharpest guys in the world, a guy who hasn't worked a straight job since the 80s, says that, that tells me it's pretty close to true. It might not be fully true, but it's pretty close to true. And right now I can get 7-1 on Toronto to win the East, where with Cleveland they're minus 200. So literally I'm getting 14 times the payoff on Toronto. So I do like them to potentially win the East.
Yeah, Fred and I both like the Wizards as the dark horse team out of the Eastern Conference.
And I think that any exposure fade in Cleveland, I think I like, you know, in general. Now, I don't like the Wizards as much as Toronto because I think the John Wall factor gives them a little bit of basketball sexiness, where Toronto being out of the country and having no basketball sexiness, not so much. But in general, I want to get exposure fade in Cleveland. And I'd love to bet Cleveland or the field plus 170, let's say, in the East, right? Minus 200 for Cleveland. Field is plus 170. I like that a good bet.
Yeah, that's an interesting bet there to get a plus on that.
I think a great thing, and you were talking about that mechanical parlay, one other thing that's great is, well, let's say you've got a mechanical parlay or on the Spurs, and you get up to their game five of the Rockets series and Kawhi Leonard turns his ankle. You can just back out. And you've got some winnings instead of none. And it's always better than going into a Golden State series without their best player.
Well, yeah. You know, you actually make a good point, right? Is you can make your decision about hedging or potentially not betting at all any step of the way.
Right.
That's a great point.
Or if you think that, you know, maybe they won't beat Golden State, so you back out on that series, and then if they do beat them, you get to play against Cleveland, and your payout will be less than 9-1. But
then you're not replicating a future bet. So, yeah,
right.
You're right. But
it just gives you more options.
Agreed, 100%. One last thing on the NBA, and I'll be tweeting out a bunch of stuff on Twitter at RJ in Vegas about the playoffs, you know, each series price and obviously the future odds and all the teams. There's no league, college or pro, that the better team wins a higher percentage of the time. Because you have, you know, any one and done, forget about it, right? It can be a fluky game. Of the 3-7-game series, you've got baseball where hot hitting and pitching can cause a pretty wild result. You've got hockey where hot goaltending can really make a wild result. And then you've got the NBA where, man, here's an exercise that just will blow your mind. Go back to 79-80, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, and tell me the best player on the winning team, how good was he in the league? You know, was he the best player in the league, second, third, fourth? Is literally like 80% of the years, the best player on the winning team is a top three player. I mean, literally 80% of the time. And some of this is subjective, right? But it's going to be right in the range. It's just so, I mean, like fishing for those futures. If you want to fish for them to win a couple series, that's fine. But this league in the seven games, it's just so unforgiving. You just got, I mean, how many times have we seen LeBron down 3-2 and come back? Right. And again, LeBron's not the greatest winner in the history of the league. He's lost a lot of closeout games or elimination games. But the fact is, he's had times he went into Superman mode. We can remember the Celtics years ago, obviously coming back 3-1 last year. It's just the idea of winning 4 out of 7 if you're not the better team, especially if the better team has home field, which typically they will. It's just hard to do.
All right, that's RJ Bell, and tell the people about pregame.com for all our new listeners who are not here on Fridays usually, but are here today.
Well, listen, first off, if that's the case, you've got to come back, go to the podcast over the weekend and listen, 3:30 Pacific, 5:30 Central every Friday right here on ESPN Houston with the D-Gens. But at pregame, I'll just say, I'll keep it real simple. A bunch of free picks. People, I can be highfalutin, I can talk about hedging strategy. People love professional bettors that give away free picks. Pregame.com has a ton of them, and we'll have a ton in baseball and the NBA playoffs.
All right, that's RJ Bell. RJ, appreciate you coming on a day early, and look forward to doing it again next week.
Hey, anytime, guys. Have All a right. good one.
You too. Great stuff as always, and right now, I got to tell you about Harry's. And if you've not tried Harry's yet, this is a way to go. Because, guys, tell me the last time you said, hey, you know what? I want to go to the store and buy razors today. Because that's happened in the history of never. And that's why Harry's is so great. You don't have to go to the store. You just go online. You order. You can set up a plan where they send you everything. So it's right there in your mailbox. You never have to leave your house. You can sit there and do it in your underwear if you want. And you're going to get great blades. They're affordable. And it's convenient. And what Harry's did was they bought their own factory so they could sell to you directly over the internet. So you're paying $2 a blade compared to $4, $5, $6, $7. Who knows what you're going to pay if you have to go to the store. And they're so confident you're going to love their blades, they're going to give you a set for free just so you can check it out. All you have to do is cover shipping. The free trial set includes a Truman set ergonomic handle, 5 precision engineered blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover, and post shave balm. That's an $18 value for you to try for free. It's only available if you use promo code BLITZ at harrys.com when you check out. Start getting a great shave right now with this amazing free trial offer, $18 value for free. Just cover shipping. To get your free trial set, including a handle, blade, shave gel, and post-shave balm, go to harrys.com right now and enter code BLITZ at checkout. That's harrys.com, code BLITZ. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today.
Your head is humming and it won't go in case you don't know.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.